Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're glad you're tuning in. I'm having a little family reunion here tonight.
Yeah.
In the studio.
Everybody in the Mueller family say hello.
Hello.
Oh, look at all of them.
I mean, we got people from Germany here. I mean, it came a long way to be here tonight.
Just to sit in the studio.
That's right.
They're leaving immediately after.
Yeah, right away. Headed right to the airport.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow and chat alongside with us.
Yeah, don't forget Twitter. You can also find us there at The Music Row Show. And maybe after the show, you can hit us up on Instagram at The Music Row Show as well.
I got an Instagram. Yeah. I didn't do my selfie with
Oh,
T.
No. That's it. We're going to cancel the Instagram account right now.
Yeah. That'll disappoint all three of
all three of our followers.
Followers.
All right, Scott, why don't you introduce who we got here?
I'm going to. This has been a very, very good year for our next guest. He signed a publishing deal and a label deal with Reviver Records, which is an offshoot of Sony, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. Plus, became Cabela Outdoors' latest brand ambassador, gained a tour sponsor to boot out of that, and in addition to continuing to build his career as a recording artist, in the past he's written and recorded songs placed on TV shows. Mm-hmm. He was a host of an Animal Planet show called Last Chance Highway. His latest single, Flip Flops, has been a play favorite on Sirius XM for the last several weeks.
It's been good.
And really, just as we were investigating and doing show prep and all of that, looking at your career path, Lucas is really the epitome of what we talk about every week in regards to the new music business. things have changed. So we have a lot to talk about. And no, he is not Will Hoag's brother. It is a pleasure to say, Lucas Hoag, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
Glad you're here.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm proud to be here.
Okay, wait. You're not Will Hoag's brother?
I'm not.
And we're out of time. I'm
so
sorry.
There's the show.
There
thank
goes all
much.
My questions. Darn it. Now, listen, you had an amazing send-off when you left town and moved to Nashville. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a very small rural Nebraska town, a town of 44 people, if you can believe it or not. See, I heard a chuckle. There's always got to be one in the background. And I went to a public
high
school. I don't
know her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I graduated in a class of 7 in my high school class.
Wow.
We had 80 kids from kindergarten through 12th grade. And so you know everybody from towns and counties wide, you know. And me and my family were pretty much the only entertainers around, you know, our area. So we'd do everything. And, you know, it came the time for me to graduate, and I was like, farming is not in my blood. So I did a big concert and had a bunch of friends come over, and we did a huge show, and women made quilts and auctioned them off, and we raised, it was just a free will donation, and we raised over $2,500, and they threw it in my pocket and said, get on out of here.
Wow.
Yeah,
hit
it was
the road.
Great. It was great. We had a great time.
Well, what a great show of support, though. That's amazing.
Oh, I love everybody back there, and my nephew just graduated today from high school. He's the first grandkid from my family to graduate, so it's pretty cool.
That is very cool. Yeah.
Good stuff.
So thinking back to the Lucas Hoag that drove into town in his Dodge, guitar, a little bit of cash in your pocket.
Yeah.
What were your expectations of Nashville, and how have those evolved over time?
You know, I had no expectations, honestly. I didn't know a single soul here.
Yeah.
You know, I'd only listened to the Opry on the radio, so I didn't know
right here
lot.
On this station.
I know it right here on the wonderful 6:50 a.m. I'm proud to be a part of this right now. And just driving here, I was just hoping and praying that, you know, it was going to work out. And when I first got here, I went out to Opry Mills Mall here, and I bought me a pair of boots because my boots had worn a hole literally through the big toe. And the guy looked me in the eye. He said, you come here to play music, didn't you? I was like, yes, sir, I did. He's like, well, I can tell you right now, you need to find yourself a job, and you need to plant your roots here if you want to be in it to win it. And that's what I did. I went out and I started my own construction company. Been here for a little over 10 years, and things, that's the one thing that kept me alive. Construction paid the music habit for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, how Nashville is that, that you get that kind of advice at the boot store?
I know. You know? Right? It was insane.
That's awesome.
It was so cool.
What kind of construction? What's your specialty?
Well, I used to build custom homes, like out in Leaper's Fork. The first house that I ever built was just down the street from Alan Jackson's big house that he just sold.
Okay.
And every morning, believe it or not, you know, I was there for almost a year building this beautiful home. And I would drive by Alan's house every day, and I would see his newspaper sitting out front of his gates there. And I had just recorded my first album. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I brought a newspaper from my house.
Oh, no.
And I would steal his newspaper. I'd shove my CD in, and I'd throw it over the fence. And I did that for about 2 weeks straight, and I never got a response. So he's probably got a really great set of coasters with my face on it.
Either that or a restraining order.
Exactly. Right. Don't let this guy. There's a big
Have you seen this guy?
if you see this guy.
You said something really interesting in when you were talking about that send-off you had in Nebraska. You said your family were the only entertainers. So your whole family is of a musical...
Absolutely, yeah. I come by it quite naturally. My mom used to write short stories and poetry and get published and things like that and write her own little books and things. And she's a great, great writer, just a great creative mind. And my dad was the musician of the family, you know. He sang in different clubs and groups throughout his college career called the Young Blues, kind of doo-wop-y type barbershop stuff. It was pretty cool. And, my brother sang and my sisters sang. And we were the choir for our entire 10 congregation member church that we went to.
You were the choir.
And the congregation.
If the flu was running through the Hogue household, there's just no music.
Nothing. So, man. It was, you know, I come by it naturally. And my brother took over the band that I started when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that band?
Borderline.
Borderline.
And I had a worship band called Extreme Devotion. And we had a rock band called Southern Cross. Southern Cross is still going strong back in Midwest, too. So, things still going, and you know, my folks still sing and write, and it's just fun to go back home and for Christmas and Thanksgiving and sit around the tree or the turkey table and have a good time, you know.
Well, we've talked about this. We've known a few guys who've come to town and wanted to become successful musicians, but felt it was kind of beneath them to go down on lower Broadway and play for the tourists and stuff. What would you say to somebody like that? Because you had some pretty good success down there. How did that end up helping you?
Oh, man, I say get in there as fast as you can when you move to town, because that's the best place to cut your teeth and to learn how to play to so many diverse crowds. Because if you play in the morning, you're going to have a nice, quiet crowd who's just sipping on their drink.
Are there people
or whatever.
There, actually?
We would start playing at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we wouldn't get done till 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. And I say get in there and you just play wherever you can possibly play, and never say no.
Never say no.
How do you get into that world?
You got to be kind of a pain.
Yeah.
Got to be a nuisance. That's kind of my strategy, I guess, if you want to call it that. I knocked on every single door that would open, and even the ones I'd knocked twice that wouldn't open.
On Lower Broadway.
On Lower Broadway. And I just would bring my CD in, a small disc that, you know, you'd recorded a few songs, and I'd put it in the hands of people, and I put a bio together of things that I'd done and whatnot. And finally somebody said, hey, why don't you come in and play for an hour or so, see if you got what it takes to fill up 4 hours of solid playing, you know?
Right.
And that's what I did. I would work in my construction job from 5 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd go home, take a shower, and I'd be in the bars downtown playing or writing songs with somebody or somewhere, or doing vocals in a studio somewhere for a little bit of cash for demo sessions and things like that. I would literally say no to nobody. Always say yes and figure it out later. That was my
philosophy. I like
that
philosophy.
Yeah.
I like that. So how hard was it to make the transition then from that to full-time recording artist? You know, was there any sort of, like, some of these guys that we talked to, they felt like there might be a stigma attached to playing down there, but...
Well, if you play there for too long, I mean, you'll get pigeonholed as, you know, just a steady bar band.
Right.
And you don't want to pigeonhole yourself. So definitely, I think any artist coming into town should go down and play Broadway for at least a good year or two.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, because like I said, you're playing for such a diverse crowd throughout the day. You get the calm crowd, so you know how to entertain intimately. And then you get the rowdy, just crazy, drunken crowd.
Which, one in the morning.
You know, it just comes natural with country music. You got to figure out how to entertain those folks as well and have a good time. And it's just builds your character and builds you as an artist, trying to figure all that out.
What does it do to your repertoire? Because I know, like in the mornings, you know, you have the, you know, the tour buses coming in and people going, you know, I want Merle, or I want Conway.
Yeah, or John Cougar or whatever. I mean, asking for anything. Exactly. Yeah. We would start doing medleys, you know. People would be yelling out in the middle of a song. We'd be playing Tulsa Time, and they'd be like, let me play Aki Break Your Heart. And I'm like, okay, we'll go right into it. You know, and whatever they want, we'd try and please as many people as possible. Every once in a while, you get a request, you'd be like, sorry, man.
Yeah.
Ozzy. Ozzy.
It ain't happening, man. Wait, Metallica or something. Yeah.
So what you kind of touch on this, but what are some of the first things a newcomer should do based on what you've learned? When they first drive into Nashville City Limits, what are some of the first things they should do? Get a job.
Get a job, check your ego at the door, and mm-hmm. be willing to say yes to everything and no to nothing and literally just work your tail off. I mean, I kind of got the reputation when I was like pounding on every publishing door or record label. They're like, after a while, they're like, who is this guy? He's always around, you know? They kind of labeled me the lost puppy, you know. One day he's going to get some scraps, and sure enough, you know, I finally did, and that just started taking off from there when people finally kind of sat up and started listening to what I had to offer. So I just really just worked my butt off, and I can't express it anymore. Just
all right,
any door that opens up, or anybody that says, hey, you should call this guy or call this girl, and do it, no matter what time of day, time of night, or who it is, or if you're scared to do it anyway.
Scott, it's just coming back to me. He's not the guy that we saw every day outside Curb Records or Curb Publishing playing his guitar on the curb. Was that you?
I bet it was.
Was that you?
I don't think. Oh, God, we had a restraining order on that guy. Here he is. No.
No, there was a guy.
There was a guy.
I don't think it was you.
No, I don't think that was
you. There was a guy that
every day sat there playing for.
And it was just
fire hydrant, you know,
right there. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, outside a curb.
No. Or did he just get kicked around?
I have no idea. He just was gone one day.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. So anything that you see newcomers do when you're doing what you're doing and you think to yourself, well, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if there's any wrong moves that you can do when you first come to town, except for just
putting a CD in a newspaper. Maybe that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll meet Alan Jackson one day.
Yeah.
He's just going to
punch you in the throat.
You're going to be walking
that guy.
Walking down Music Row one day, and you're going to hear, that's him!
Get him!
Get him!
Turn that Prevo around. I'm out of here. But just stay away from the booze and the drugs, man. In this town, anywhere, anything like that, and you'll be safe. That's what I think. A lot of the young guys can come into town and just think they can party and live the life of the songs that you sing, and you know sometimes that's not the case.
And still be productive.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the schedule you were keeping, if you were hammering them back, there's no way you could go back to work. You know,
no way.
Get 3 hours sleep and go. Put some wood up straight.
Been fired. Yeah, the houses would all been at the local fairgrounds, you know,
leaning
with
like
mirrors
this.
In them.
Oh man,
let's take a break.
Let's do that. We need to let you know that this segment is brought to you by our good friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers.
It's all true. It's a good dealership, you guys. They say they like to give excellent deals and make sure that everybody that walks in has an excellent experience.
And they do.
They say it with a lot less words, you know, but what can I say? But they have a lifetime warranty with unlimited time and miles on every new and used car, a 3-day exchange policy, and unlike many of the other dealerships, they're just low-key. I mean, you walk in there and you're not
just hounded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should talk to George. He's the owner. He'll take great care of you. You can find him on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
We're
here with Lucas Hogue. Come back in just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show.
Of a real good time is walking out the back door and casting a line in the water. And I don't care if the fish don't bite, I'll sit all day and into the night because I wanna.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with Lucas Hogan. That was him right there doing a song called What Makes Weird. You Feel Good.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, imagine that, how we worked that out.
It's amazing.
What Makes You Feel Good. That's a great, that's a fun tune.
Now, that's off his...
That's got summer written all over it.
That's off his last album called Lucas Hogue. Here it is. And he has a brand new EP coming out, but the studio's keeping it under wraps.
Secret. He's also gotten a haircut since
The long locks.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Very... Locks and lug. We gave all our hair away.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, before we get to more questions, you guys are both
all
armed.
All of a sudden, sprouted guitars, yeah.
Fully armed. And I say you guys because your buddy Thomas is here.
Hello.
And
a local.
Yeah.
If you can believe that.
Yeah.
So,
generations. That's
whoa. Whoa. We'll play us something.
All right. I'm just going to do one of the new singles that's been thrown up in the air here. I grew up a huge Garth Brooks fan. Mm-hmm. And when a friend of mine, I think I was in sixth grade, when a friend of mine brings in the No Fences record.
Right.
And fell in love with Friends in Low Places and No Fences and all the songs on there. And just, you know, I was kind of a crazy fan. But he opened me up to so much more country music, all these other artists that I hadn't been listening to because all my brothers and sisters loved to listen to that rock and roll music, you know. Mm-hmm. So I never got to listen to good country music. And so that's when I started listening to George and George Jones and George Strait and Merle and Willie and all these guys. And fast forward to when I'm here in Nashville finally writing my own stuff. And a good friend of mine wrote this song. Matt Rogers and his good friend Terry McBride sat down and wrote this song. And they said, man, you've got to cut this song because we know what kind of a Garth Brooks fan you are. So this one's called The Power of Garth. Hope you guys like it. My old man worked his fingers to the bone. And always made time for us when he got home. Grabbed Mom and me a glass of tea and those old cassettes. That memory still as sweet as it was back then. Every time I hear the thunder rolls, I'm right back to 10 years old. Those songs are like the soundtrack to my life. Well, I was too young to understand why Mama cried when she heard the dance. Those melodies will forever be wrapped around my heart, and that's the power of God. I was stuck in my truck, all backed up on the interstate. Much too young, took me back to yesterday. So I cranked it up, I sang along, I closed my eyes and it took me home. Every time I hear the thunder rolls, I'm right back, 10 years old. Those songs are like the soundtrack to my life. Well, I was too young to understand why Mama cried when she heard the dance. Those melodies will forever be wrapped around my heart, and that's the power of God. A lot of songs have come and gone and faded into dust, but no one's ever come along and hit me like he does. Every time I hear the thunder rolls, I'm right back 10 years old. Those songs are like the soundtrack to my life. Well, I was too young understand why Mama cried when she heard the dance. Those melodies will forever be wrapped around my heart, and that's the power of God. Yeah, that's the power of God. Amen.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Woo! Very nice.
Thank you, sir.
So has Garth heard this song?
Not yet, but I know.
Okay.
I think we need to try and get it to him.
Okay.
I'm sure he's listening.
I'm about
going
to get his newspaper and maybe.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. You have
maybe
a song called How Was I to Know?
Yeah.
Which has got a great story. It was inspired by a dying woman's last wish or one of her last wishes.
Absolutely.
Tell us about
right.
that song.
Yeah. Don't ask me to play it, but I will tell you the story about it.
Okay.
I don't know if I can make it through. I just lost my uncle about 2 days ago.
And, oh, man.
I was not able to go back to the funeral, which was yesterday. And but flash forward here today, where we're at, I was filming a hunting show in South Dakota. And we were hunting pheasants up in South Dakota, having a great, great time. And I got to hang out with the camera crew and everything like that. And we really hit it off because they were a bunch of Nebraska guys. And a good friend of mine, Brad Bowe, was the camera guy. And we hit it off so good that we kept in touch over the last, 6 months or whatever that after the show aired and stuff. And he quit being a camera guy, and he went to work for Sangre de Cristo Hospice in Pueblo, Colorado. And he was the kind of, I called him the genie because he granted dying wishes for the people in hospice. Mm. And there was a lady there by the name of Natalie Fignani who was dying from ALS disease, or better known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and instantly I had a connection because I lost my grandfather at a young age to Lou Gehrig's disease. And he said, Lucas, I got this lady here who wrote about 4 lines of a poem, and before she passes away, she'd like it turned into a song. Would you be willing to do that? I was like, absolutely, absolutely. And he told me a little bit more about her, and she, has Lou Gehrig's disease, just completely riddles your body.
Right.
Completely coherent in your mind, but you can't talk, you can't function. She couldn't even move. She could lay in bed, and she had a service dog where she would prop her foot on the service dog, and she would type out messages on a computer screen with her big toe.
Wow.
So she typed out the lines of this poem that she wanted some inspiration for. And she emailed it to me and said, I would love to have this, turn into a song. And me and my buddy Corey Barker got together and passed it back and forth over emails because he was at work and I was in the studio going, we really got to get this right, So I think about 30 minutes went by. He sent me a version. I sent him a version. We put the two versions together. And I literally put my phone on my knee and I just never played a note to these lyrics yet. And played it one time through, and I was like, you know what? God's got a hand in this one, because I ain't going to change a note. And I literally sent it off to her and her family, and they sent it straight to the radio station out in Colorado, because they liked it so much. And they were playing this little crappy little work tape that I'd played on my knee. It was the most requested song in the history of that radio station.
Wow.
And I just feel honored and blessed to be a part of that song, and to be able to touch a few lives with that song. I've got a few stories. I was doing a cowboy church out there after that song. We had finally went in the studio and recorded it, and it was a nice version. And we were doing a service out there at the cowboy church, and this lady comes squealing into the parking lot there after the service was over, and she comes running up to me, and she said, they just played that song, and I was about to drive my car off of a bridge. And she said, when I heard that song, it made me not do it. So,
wow.
The song touches lives whether you know it or not, and it was just cool for her to come in and tell me that, because you never know if a song's touching any lives out there. And then throughout the year that we were promoting this song, I got invited to play at the Ryman Auditorium with George Jones before he passed away. And that was a huge honor and in its own right. And I was able to fly Natalie in. So she was there at the front row. I was able to do her song
on
the Ryman stage. And it was just unbelievable. And then about 3 months later, she passed away.
But
it was so cool to be a part of her life and to write something that can touch lives like that is an honor and a blessing.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I'm going to change gears a little bit here. You really gained traction, which is funny because T. Graham Brown, who was here.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and you guys both, you both gained traction initially doing TV and commercials and stuff.
Yeah,
that was his track
no kidding,
as well.
I did not realize that. That's pretty cool.
So talk about that. Was that publisher driven, or were you hustling those songs yourself?
Man, like I said from the beginning, every door I would possibly knock on, and I was doing a Bible study at near Blackbird Studios with a guy by the name of, if I might screw up his name, Hank Martin, I believe. He wrote a bunch of jingles.
Okay, how do you screw that one up?
Well, I don't know if it's the correct name, because I always want to call him Dean.
Hank Martin?
I don't know if it's the right name.
Okay,
so
sorry.
I apologize if it's not him.
He's Hank. Hank Martin. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Henry. Continue. I'm
Henry.
Sorry.
Henry's getting all of the credit today, right, whether it was him or not. But he told me that he was writing jingles and stuff. He's like, how, and I was, you know, how do you get into that? How do you get into that? He's like, why don't you just start calling up some of these places? So I called up a lot of their marketing teams. Like Bulldog Marketing was one, because I was doing a lot of NASCAR stuff and a lot of start finish line and infield things. And Bulldog Marketing was a company that had all these, like Pegler Cisco, and had Lipton Tea and Lever 2000 soap that they would put on their race car teams.
Sure.
And I started calling him and like, hey man, is anybody looking for jingles, whatnot? And he goes, absolutely, we're looking for a jingle for the Lipton Tea 250 that's coming up in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was like, man, I'd love to give it a shot writing a theme song for, or the jingle for that. So he's like, yeah, give me what you got. They want something about being in the hometown and tea. And I was like, something like hometown tea. He's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Just like that.
Like, you just gave me the title, but okay, we'll take it.
So yeah. Give us a little bit of it.
Okay, see if I can remember.
A little hometown tea.
Let's see if I can remember. Need a little backyard, need a little shade tree, need a little sweet thing sitting next to me. When you've been working hard, nothing better than a cold drink. Need a little down home, a little hometown, a little Lipton tea. Lipton, the hometown tea. Something like that. You know? It was something like that.
I just got thirsty.
In so many years, I forgot all the chords, but me and my buddy Jeff Wood sat down and just wrote this little jingle, and, yeah, and they loved it. So it was cool. My first jingle. And then that led into getting stuff on film and TV.
At Smallville, which was a cool show for us comic geeks.
I'm a huge Superman nut. So yeah. When my manager, Laura Lynn, and now my wife, she was like, I know some people out in the film and TV world. Why don't you try writing some songs for this TV show that my buddy's the music director on? I was like, oh, yeah, what's the name of that show? She's like, Smallville.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun. So, yeah, If Only I Could was a song that got on there. And I was singing it, and I was performing it, and it was like you remember the show, right?
Yeah, at the end,
the
they'd
Talon,
say.
You know, the yeah. Talon, the theater. So it was when Lois and Lana were fighting in the Talon over Clark.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, how more awesome of a scene is that? Yeah. The two hot chicks with your song playing in the background fighting over Superman.
Nice.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Now, that's, when you were writing that, in order to get into the spirit, did you put on the blue tights and the cape? Or?
Yeah, okay. I did.
Well, you got to get in character.
No, I let the co-writer do that.
There you go.
All right, listen, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Lucas Hoag here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're just doing a little head bobbing in here. It was awesome.
Now, that was a full on seizure there, I know.
We're here with Lucas Hoag. That's a tune off his project called Shake the Trailer.
Shake it.
Shake the Trailer.
Lucas, where do people find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, go on the line. Mm-hmm. They're at lucashoag.com, and all of our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and iMeme and all that jazz is right there, and it's always just my name. So at Lucas Hoag. Hoag is H-O-G-E.
Crazy.
Easy.
No relation.
But I finally met Will for the first time at the ACMs on the red carpet this year.
Did you?
And we started exchanging stories. And he asked me, he's like, do you get people saying that, asking if I'm Lucas, you're Lucas Hoag's brother? And he's like, all the time. I get, you're Will Hoag's brother all the time. But we've got a picture. And does he not look like Tom Wopat from Dukes Hazzard?
Kind of.
Sort of.
A lot like.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Good guy. Good guy. Super great guy. Great musician. Awesome.
Well, let's get another song, and then we'll talk some more. I'd love to get another song from y'all.
Excellent. I think we should do flip-flops and bikini tops.
Do that?
Yeah. Wrote this with a good friend of mine by the name of Jeff Wood. He helped me write Lipton Jingle.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there playing this kind of like beachy vibe and whatnot. And he's like, "Have you wrote that yet?" I'm like, "No, I'm just kind of feeling it out." And he said, "I got an idea I've been rolling around in my head called Flip Flops and Bikini Tops. Maybe let's try and write it." I was like, "Okay, what you got in mind?" He's like, "I really don't have anything in mind." And I said, "Well, let's write it about five guys from the farm finally get some time off, and they go to the beach, and they see hot women walking around." And
I like where your head's
and
at.
I was like,
"Yeah,
I think we're onto something here." So we wrote it. It's called Flip Flops and Bikini Tops.
All right.
Finally got the okay to get away, leaving the farm, sitting there in the rear view. Five guys on a two-day drive, stopping for gas and Mountain Dew. Never been out of our small town, but nothing but Friday night football games now. Here we are pulling this car right out on the sand, and we're blown away by flip-flops and bikini tops. Strolling out on the boardwalk for a good time in the sunshine. These tan lines are a beautiful thing, yeah. Warm wind and your hot skin. Everybody gonna jump on in till the night comes and the moon's up. Gonna need a little light to help you find those flip-flops and bikini tops. That's right. A fire burning down, still hanging out, watching the sun slip up out of the blue waves, wide-eyed all through the night. Got a ticket all in, board slips away. Well, this girl in my arms, she's never seen a farm. She couldn't believe I'd never been to the ocean. Well, it is what it is, nothing serious. It's going with the flow, rolling with the motions of flip-flops and bikini tops. Strolling out on the boardwalk, looking for a good time in the sunshine. These tan lines are a beautiful thing, yeah. Warm wind and your hot skin. Everybody gonna jump on in till the night comes and the moon's up. Gonna need a little light to help you find those flip-flops and bikini tops. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Flip-flops and bikini tops. Oh, 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 oh. Skin. Everybody gonna jump on in till the night comes and the moon's up. Gonna need a little light to help you find those flip-flops, flip-flops, bikini tops, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, flip-flops, bikini tops. We finally got the okay to get away, leaving the farm, sitting there in the rear view. Five guys on a two-day drive, only stopping for gas and Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
That is Flip Flops, which is out on the radio.
Very nice.
Now.
Thank
Very
you
nice.
So much.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Wrangler National Patriot Tour. We're going to talk about Cabela's. We got a lot to talk about. Stick around. You're listening to the Music Row Show. We'll be right back.
On the front lines, never give up faith. Know somebody's praying for you each and every day. To those who serve the meals, to those who patch their wounds, to those who waited home for them with everything to lose. This song is for you. You can't wear it on your chest, but you can feel it in
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
And I hope
we are here with Lucas Hoag, and that's a tune of his called Medal of Honor, which is pretty awesome because you're actually heading out to play for the troops in, what, 2 days or so?
Yeah.
We head to Kuwait and the Lord knows who at where else.
Tuesday and downrange Middle East, undisclosed bases, so it's
so you don't even really know where you're going?
No, sir. They the DOD does not give us any intel until we get there.
The OD. Yeah.
No, yeah. DOD.
The DOD?
DOD.
Oh, I thought you meant the OD. Yeah. No.
DOD, Department of Defense.
Oh.
All them language terms.
Yeah.
A lot of abbreviations there. We'll talk about the Wrangler National Patriot Tour. How did you hook up with them? And it's different than the USO tours.
Yeah. I did a tour back in 2009. We did a big stage and light show. And we were over in Kuwait and Iraq and Kosovo for almost 30 days. And we got to hang out with all of our servicemen and women over there and a lot of generals and stuff we sat down and talked with. And when we came back, my wife said, you know what? Everybody that goes over there deserves a Medal of Honor. And I was like, maybe we should write a song called Medal of Honor. And we did. And thank you. I'll move this up. So,
you know, not that you get a co-write, honey, or anything,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we wrote this song, and I've been playing it all over the place. Got to play it at the White House. We got to play it at Constitution Hall. I played it for the Medal of Honor recipients. And Wrangler heard about everything we were doing with this tune. And Jeff Chadwick from the Wrangler Corporation called me up and said, hey, we do this tour that goes overseas every year. And it's called the Wrangler National Patriot Tour, and we'd love you to be a part of it and be our musician to come over and help us entertain and say thank you on the behalf of the Western industry and country music. And I said, absolutely, count me in. So we've been going over for the last 6 years in a row now to undisclosed bases in the Middle East and Alaska, too. We were just in Alaska last year for a Coast Guard tour, and we were talking with all those people.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys at these little coasty guard shacks up there said in 20 years of service, they've never once had a show of any kind, USO or anything, come through there. So we were the first in 20 years
to
go up there and do a show for the Coast Guard in Alaska. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
And then those guys said, my enlistment was only for 4 years. Yeah. Yeah. I've been here for 20 years. Would you just send a note to my family?
Exactly. We can't get out of here.
I need bus fare.
Oh, man.
So true.
Well.
But yeah, we'll be in Afghanistan. Well, in the Middle East, excuse me, for... Yeah. Gosh, almost 2 weeks.
Good for you.
And I finally get to bring my guitar player and good friend Thomas Becker with me.
Nice.
Because it's usually just been me over there, so it's pretty cool. It's cool because we also bring Casey Field, who's a 4-time world champion bareback rider and all-around cowboy at the NFR. Usually Annie Bianco, who's a world champion mounted shooter, so a woman on horseback shooting targets at high speeds. It's pretty
What's
cool.
What's not to like?
Exactly, yeah. Right? Just, you know, stay on her good side.
Right.
And... And then we bring Miss Rodeo America over with us, Megan Ridley and Jeff Chadwick from the Wrangler Corporation, and Robbie Powers, who's a retired Armed Forces serviceman as well. So he's kind of our leader, and he takes us under his wing and keeps good track of us while we're over there and keeps us safe. So he's a pretty cool guy.
Nice.
Forgive me. I completely forgot. This year we're bringing retired Marine Colonel John Bates, who, if you can go online and read his story, he is the real-life Rambo. I mean, this guy is amazing. From Vietnam until he retired in Desert Storm.
Wow.
You can believe that.
Wow.
Incredible guy. Incredible guy.
Well, before we run out of time, we do have a question here from listener Ruth, and she would love to know your take on being open to hearing advice, good advice, obviously, and learning from it, but also knowing when to just kind of go with your gut, especially when it comes to advice on songwriting, you know, because everybody's got an opinion. So what's your feeling on that?
That's a very good question. I honestly accept and encourage all kinds of advice when it comes to writing, because, I mean, there's so many people out there that can write a heck of a lot better song than I do. But I learn from all of the criticism and things like that. But you got to take it with a grain of salt, too. You got to have a thick skin when you come to Nashville,
right.
and make sure you can power through that, because a lot of people start picking people's songs apart. And they're works of art that you poured your heart into, you know, whether they're good or not sometimes. But you got to take it with a grain of salt. And at the end of the day, it's your song. So do whatever you want to do with it. But if people aren't, you know, gravitating towards it, maybe it's not a hit. Maybe you do need to relook at it or revisit it and maybe write it a different way. But like you said, at the end of the day, it's your creation. So have
fun
with it.
I guess it's a fine line, you know.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, because there's some folks that we've all come across who don't take advice and they're still out there with the same crummy songs because they never improved.
You're absolutely right.
You know, so it's a fine line between listening to people and listening to your gut.
Absolutely. Right. 100%.
Very good. Well, we just had a few more minutes, but, you know, gosh, we had so much more to talk about. You just picked Cabela's up as a major sponsor, tour sponsor.
So cool.
That is awesome.
That's one of the brands that, as a little kid, I mean, me and my dad used to go there all the time. We'd find the closest store, which was Sydney, and that was probably almost
Australia.
Six, yeah.
Wow. That was a long
trip. We'd take
trip.
One flight every year. And we'd get our
I hate to tell you this. I'm almost positive there was one closer.
Just north of us in Sydney, Nebraska.
Oh, now, for people who don't, who may not know, what is a Cabela's?
Cabela's is the world's foremost outfitting store. So picture Walmart with only hunting and fishing and just amazing gear in it.
Gotcha.
If you had to compare it to another organization, it's one of those. It rhymes with Bass.
You really can't say what it rhymes with.
Yeah, you can't.
But Cabela's is so much better, though. I'm just saying. I love it. No, it's one of those stores that is a great brand. And as a kid, you know, we would always go in there before hunting season, and Dad would say, "Hey, pick something out," you know, whatever. But it was when I would get the catalog that was 2 inches thick.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah,
that was the trophy I would carry around with me all day long. Just loved it, you know. So to flash forward and finally be a part of what an amazing brand it is, because even though the brand is amazing, the people behind the brand are even more amazing. They really are. Once you get to know the CEOs and the owners of the company, it's truly a great, great company to be a part of.
Wonderful.
Excellent. And that's so important in this day and age, because the record deals just aren't what they, you know, what they used to be.
Absolutely.
Which is probably even better for the artists now, but it's so important that you find companies to align yourself with.
You're absolutely right, you know, and that's one of the things that me and my manager and beautiful wife, Laura Lynn, we focused on marketing more so than we did when it came to radio, because it is so hard to get your songs on radio.
Right.
We figured, you know, we're going to market, and try and associate ourselves with great brands, and they would help us out along the way, and that's how we got Cabela's, and that's how I got Gamble Family Vineyards, Callaway, Wrangler. I mean, just these people realizing the things that I'm doing organically and naturally on our own without a big label behind us. They just said, "Hey, I think you guys are doing something right." So they wanted to be a part of it, and I'm very fortunate and blessed that they wanted to be on board too.
Nice.
Sweet. Now, am I right? Did I read correctly that you have another new show coming up called Hickstream?
I do.
Yeah,
very
tell
good.
Us about that.
Yeah,
tell us about Hickstream.
You know, I don't like to take myself too seriously, and I was just thinking of cool ways to get back on TV, because we had the Animal Planet show,
right.
And they say the hardest thing to do is get on TV, but it's even harder to keep a show on TV.
Right.
So when I was pitching shows, and I was like, you know what, this Hickstream thing would be kind of cool. It's just me going to these little places all over the country and finding these crazy, weird, wacky, dumb sporting events that people don't know about, like downhill Barbie Jeep racing and cheese rolling and carp scarping and redneck fishing and mud belly flopping and stuff like that, that just hopefully makes people laugh.
That's fantastic.
All right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Where can we find that?
Go to Nash.com, NashTV.com.
NashTV.com.
It's on NashTV right now.
All right, great.
It's going to be on your smart TVs. It's going to have a little icon on there that you can watch it on demand as well. So.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Look, we need to have you back, because there's so much more I want to talk about as an independent artist. And talk. We didn't really get to talk about Reviver Records at all.
Oh, what a
so
great label.
When you come back, maybe in the fall, will you come back and visit with us?
I would be honored to come back and visit with you. And we'll bring all the Reviver crew in with us too, so that they can talk to you, because this is a label that lets you be an artist. I mean, that's kind of unheard of these days. I mean, they really do. They're there for you. You know, they really are. They're a cool platform to be
with.
Well,
thanks for joining us. LucasHogue.com. Go check that out. And go buy a CD. That's out there as well at LucasHogue.com.
The EP is coming out soon.
That's
very,
right.
Very soon.
And in the meantime, go to themusicrowshow.com. Find out everything that we've got to tell you. We'd love to hear from you. You know, if anybody you want to hear on the show, let us know. We're always open to suggestions. And until we meet again, go write something.
Thanks, guys.